o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch begins now. And it begins where we usually spend most of our time. And again, I've talked about this before. I think of us as a restaurant. If we're a pizza place, you want your pizza. The Packers are our pizza. And we'll get to them. But I did think that we had some really good... I got a couple of really nice texts from Bucks fans and folks that care deeply about the Bucks who appreciated our conversation. So I'm glad we did that. But my hives are now subsiding, and we can talk about the rookie camp. Tausch, when you came in 2000, help me remember, was there a specifically just for rookies camp, or were you thrown into the lion's den almost immediately?
Lion's den immediately.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it would be nice if we weren't. I think these guys, this is a lot of, because literally you get drafted and then there's a mini camp, I think, on Friday that starts. And we get, you know, I can remember checking into the Midway Motor Lodge, and it was just heaven, man. One of those indoor pools, and I think it's still up there. And all the rookies come in. So we get in there, and we have a meeting at the Motor Lodge that Mike Sherman comes over, and he's discussing kind of...
Is he in, like, a Hawaiian shirt?
He was in a Hawaiian shirt.
Smelled chlorine from the pool.
There was definitely a chlorine-ish vibe to it. And it just, you'd go down, you'd get food there, and then we had our meeting, and then Friday morning, hey, be there at 6:30, physicals and the whole deal. And I just remember being so exhausted. So Friday we got back after a day of two-a-days of practice with no pads, and then trying to study, like, the playbook. And I can remember Cliffy and I were roommates, and I just remember putting the book, and it was like 9 o'clock when we got back. And I probably zonked out a minute later. And then we had all be back over there at like 6:30 the next day. And just the exhaustion. And it wasn't physical. It was just so much that you took in. And you're trying to, you're trying to maneuver through. We had rookie meetings before the veterans got there. And you're trying just to have any concept of what the hell you're doing. So at that point, I didn't really know the offense because we got drafted. It was 4 days later. We're down there. We didn't get iPad booklet shipped to us. There was nothing. And the system was much different than what the Wisconsin Badger system was, especially in the passing game. So I can remember sitting there and Raleigh McKenzie was my right guard. And I was playing right tackle. And I would literally say, is this a run or a pass? And I could see him kind of look like, oh, my God. You're not going to last long around here, son. It was so overwhelming. That now I look at it and I say, Bet, that this is the way to do it. You have your tryout guys, you have your draft picks, everybody comes in, you know your guys, and you can kind of take a breath. Well, we didn't have that luxury.
So we're going to talk to the rookies. We've got locker room at noon right after the show finishes up. And then we'll have practice.
Of everybody, you talk to the draft picks a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is on your top of list? Like, who do you want to get to know?
So, at the risk of getting Rudy Forded by this point, because I will not only talk to this guy, I will certainly talk to all the rookie draft picks that are made available to us, and I am looking forward to multiple ones. I'm really looking forward to the quarterback from Tulane, Michael Pratt. I wrote about... Kalen King today, so he will not be as high of a priority for me. But I'd be lying if I said I don't want to talk to the long snapper from Wisconsin, Peter Bowden.
Boutsky.
I am curious because, look, they had Matt Orzech last year who had snapped in a Super Bowl for the Rams. We've talked about their special teams. You know, I'm curious to see if Peter's going to have a legitimate shot here. Because nobody cares about the long snapper, including maybe during the rookie camp, until something goes awry. And while the Packers didn't have any catastrophic long snapper situations last year, I think that this is a place where he might have a chance to win the job. And so we'll see. So that's on my list. I'll tell you, I understand that We all love A.J. Dillon. We think that the Packers, while we would have liked to have seen Aaron Jones still on this roster, we understand why they did what they did, even if you don't agree with it. And there's a lot of excitement about Josh Jacobs and what he could do. But I'm super curious about Marshawn Lloyd. I made this joke earlier in the week. It'll be one of the rare draft picks that I'm taller than. He's 5'8", I'm 5'9". His 220
Who's heavier?
Pounds. His 220 pounds and my 220 pounds are very different.
Okay.
Mine is a little more smushy than his, I'm guessing. But I am really eager to see what role he might have on this team. And then I don't know if we'll get to many of the undrafted free agents. They've got an offensive lineman from Michigan among their free agents that they signed. Not your guy, Zach Zinter. He won the draft. But I am intrigued. I just want to ask Arizona State tight end Messiah Swinson to tell me the story behind his name and why his parents chose to name him Messiah. Because that, I thought, was interesting. He was not super productive in college. There's not a great opportunity here at the tight end position, but there is some. So we'll see how that plays out. Taush, I wanted to ask you this because you love to give me a hard time, even though I didn't actually call Christian Watson spindly. I called him wiry upon his arrival here in 2022. How would you, if you didn't have all the other things going on, including the grand opening of the sports book at Pottawatomie, if you were here, how would you advise me on what kind of observations I should steer clear of? Because I would argue that while I did say that he was wiry, I also said that Christian Watson ran really fast. And if you remember, I also said, boy, this Romeo Doubs kid that they took in the fourth round out of Nevada, he's really an impressive guy. He might be my sleeper among this draft class to be a pretty good player. Turned out that he is.
You just keep nailing it. I think the thing you can't get caught up in is all of the, you know, how many mental errors somebody's having, or if there's some, you know, mixed up snaps and different, because all of this is new to these guys. But I think you can tell when someone has that next gear, and if it's that, wow, you know, there's going to be a lot of really good athletes that are going to be down there, but Terry Glenn, I remember the first time I saw him at a practice, I was like, well, I haven't seen this before. Charles Woodson, it's like, that's different. You could see that. And I think that's where, you know, whether it's going to be Lloyd or whomever it's going to be, do they have, is there that gear that it's like, woo? Those are the things that you look for when you're in shorts and you're just getting started with guys. That's the stuff that I think I would look for. You can't get a ton out of the O-line. You could see some D-line if guys are super explosive. That's always good, too. But that, to me, is always the, oh, boy, that looks different than what we've seen. That's when you know you have somebody that you're going to get excited about.
So one of the things that I always take note of is where guys line up, which I know sounds simple. But they drafted, obviously, Jordan Morgan in the first round. They drafted Jacob Monk in the fifth round, and they drafted Travis Glover in the seventh round. Now, there's only rookies here, so it's not like you lining up next to Raleigh McKenzie. But I would assume that we will see Jordan Morgan at left tackle, and we will see Travis Glover at right tackle, and we will see Jacob Monk at center. Now, that doesn't mean long-term that's where they'll be, but it also might mean that's exactly where they'll be. So how careful do I have to be about my offensive line observations? Like, I can see if Jordan Morgan gets off the snap and has good feet, right? I can observe that, even if he doesn't know exactly what he's doing, right? So I want to see that. I am curious, too, who the heck is going to play wide receiver during this camp? It's going to have to be a bunch of
tryout guys. Yeah, I think it will be interesting if you see Jordan Morgan at left guard. I think that makes it interesting. And if you have Monk playing left tackle, that'd be interesting. I also want to see, where are they putting Cooper? They got him at Mike. They got him at Will. So there are some things that you can glean. I don't know if it's going to – that doesn't necessarily mean. But they're not going to put Cooper in a spot where they're not going to play him because they want him to learn where they're going to play him.
Right.
So where are they putting him? That's interesting. Bullard, where are they putting him? So for as much as you can glean some good information as far as what are their initial thoughts on where mm-hmm. these guys are going to be playing. And then you can take notes on the other stuff. But by the way, you recklessly, I guess I won't say recklessly, but hey. You did a great job. I took it back. You speculated very nicely on the Watsons and the Dobbs, and your insights come back. And fairly or unfairly, they will give, I know for me, and I don't know about Jesse, it paints me a picture of, okay, well, I'm not up there watching it. You can see video of it. You can hear what the coaches say. You don't have a dog in that hunt. I got a hunch you're going to say Monk looks like a beast because you're on board. You love you some Monk.
I do love Monk, yeah.
So I'll be fascinated to hear because for as much as I give you grief,
your observations
on that were pretty intriguing a couple years ago and somewhat accurate.
Jesse, if you were up here, what are you most interested in? What do you want? I feel like a DJ. Do you have any requests?
I think when you just look at the edge rushers and just figuring out what they know about Jeff Hafley already, have they been in contact with him and like what's that going to look like? I think that's the biggest question about the Packers heading into the 2024 season is just what's the defense going to be after the couple of years that we've had. So what they know about the impact and I'm not going to say try to trick them, and I'm definitely not going to say try to take advantage of anything, but before they get all of the coach speak one day at a time cliche answers fully under their belt, maybe it's nice to hear if Jeff Hafley called and said, I think we're going to do this, and maybe they give you something that we mm-hmm. get to learn about. So that's, I guess, what I'm selfishly interested in, but I think the defense is going to be the biggest question, the thing we speculate most about from now until Brazil. So anything we can learn about the defense and what that system's going to look like, I'm interested to learn.
Yeah, I am too. And again, I've maybe taken some gratuitous shots about this, but I don't love the fact that we've talked to Jeff Hafley once. We haven't even talked to any veteran players since the offseason program began. We're all just going off of one press conference with Jeff Hafley in terms of what insight, if any, we have into what this defense will look like. We know it's going to be playing a ton of nickel. It's going to be a 4-2-5 defense. Beyond that, you're right. That's one of the things that I want to watch today. But I am really interested, as Tausch mentioned, in Cooper and Hopper, which I know I'm going to say Copper and Hooper at some point, but not yet at least. I do want to see how both those guys line up. I want to see, what we heard about them is that they're fast, they flow to the ball. Obviously, they're going to be in helmets and shorts, so it's not like it's going to be tackling. But I think it is important to see how they move and how fluid they are. So I think that's something that Domofsky and Huber and I and Hodkowitz and all the whole hee-haw gang will be watching. Last thing on this, Tausch, I always, and probably unfairly, because poor Joey Jameson is off, living his life somewhere, even though his NFL career did not go the way he would have hoped. But looking back on your time, because they did have rookie camps during your career, you were obviously a veteran by then, so you didn't have the Raleigh-McKenzie experience necessarily of lining up immediately against a young guy who didn't know what he was doing. But do you believe in the old saying that you can't rule people in, but you can rule them out? Are there instances of this where you might be able to say, oh, boy, I don't want to rule this guy out, but he looked like he had no idea what he was doing.
I wouldn't say you could do that in this cycle, but I mm-hmm. think when you get into, early training camp, when you throw pads on and you can kind of get a glimpse as far as this guy, he ain't going to be him. But then there's also, if you're drafted high enough there, you're going to have enough of a skill set to do some things. I don't think you could do that now. Now, if you draft somebody strictly to be a punt returner and you can't catch a punt, that makes it pretty tricky. But you still are going to give a little bit of time because not everybody handles change, unique circumstances, the same. So this is going to be one of those weekends where I think guys will make a big, woo, all right, then. And then there'll be some like, ooh, all right, then.
And you know what? He said the exact same words, and you know exactly what he meant by that. That was a thing of beauty. All right, we need to play some trivia. Jesse, did you leave Hunter? I understand that he is off his suspension. Did you leave Hunter the opportunity to write his own Gerald Ford trivia questions, or did you handle this today?
I handled it.
Yeah, I had some extra time on my hands running Bucks Talk last night with old Justin Garcia. So I took care of it. And today's category, Bucks Eliminators, is today's category. Reveling in great moments in Bucks playoff-ending history.
All right, we will take caller six. Because the Bucks lost in six, Pacers in six, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller six right now for Wilde and Tausch trivia. Caller six, Bucks Eliminators, 844-770-3776. Want to remind you that it's time to bring your outdoor oasis to life with some help from Steinhoffels. With over 20 patio sets to choose from, Steinhoffels has something for every style and every budget. And you're going to get a free Yeti beverage bucket when you spend $1,999 or more on that new patio set. Use their 60-month financing to make that outdoor oasis even more affordable. Escape to the outdoors with a new beautiful backyard styled by Steinhoffels. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Trivia is next with the boys live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Grand Opening. It's Wilde and Tausch. Time for trivia. Let's welcome in our contestants. It's the first time that you guys have been at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. It's the grand opening. And another first-time contestant for Trivia 2.
I think that's three this week.
It's at least two. I think you're right. That's, I think it's three.
Is that the first time in Wilde and Tausch history you've had three first-time contestants?
If no, I want to say we almost had a perfect week of newbies, and then Scuba Chad maybe ruined it with the first
Scuba Chad. That wouldn't be the first thing that Scuba Chad has ruined, that's for sure. All right, well, let's welcome in our first-time contestant. It is Steve in Madison. Steve, good morning. How are you today?
What's up, boys? Let's do this.
I like the enthusiasm. Enthusiasms. All right, the category is Bucks Eliminators. The first question, Steve, is this. Which of these is the only team to have ever defeated the Bucks in the NBA Finals? Only team to beat the Bucks in the NBA Finals. Was it the Boston Celtics, the Orlando Magic, or Ben Brust's Rec League Super Squad?
It was the Orlando Magic. Not very confident there, boys.
No, it wasn't.
So Milwaukee must have been in opposite conferences back in the old days.
They were.
They were.
Very tough question.
Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong. The Western Conference, they were 1974, they went to the finals after winning the title in 71, and they lost to the Celtics. They were in the Western Conference then. They obviously became an Eastern Conference team. And I'm gonna give Jesse a little bit of credit here. It, on its surface, it seems like a hard question. But if you play the elimination, if you play the elimination game, you go, all right, well, it ain't Ben Brust's Rec League Super Squad. And the Orlando Magic were an expansion franchise that the Bucks never faced in the finals. So I'm not picking on you, Steve. but it would have been great if he could have gotten that. It wasn't as hard as Jesse. It may have seemed on its surface, Jesse. I'm giving you credit for that. All right, let's bounce back, Steve. Tausch has got question two.
All right, from 2007 till 2012, which of these opponents was the only team the Bucks faced and were eliminated by in the NBA playoffs? Is it the Bulls, the Heat, or the Hawks?
Now, this is hard.
Would you say the question again?
I sure will, Steve.
From 2000,
like such a chore. Come on, treat our guests with a little more kindness than that.
From 2000, just hold off. Now I'm going to butcher this again. That's why I wanted it to get done in the first one. I'm going to do it a third time, and then I'll probably do it a fourth time. From 2007 until 2012, which of these opponents was the only team the Bucks faced and were eliminated by in the NBA playoffs? Is it the Bulls, the Heat, or the Hawks?
Miami Heat last year.
A hard question. So I butchered reading it three times. I didn't put you in a good position to succeed there, and neither did Jesse.
No, you didn't.
What do you mean?
2007 through 2012 was when was the window, and that was the Atlanta Hawks. So you touched it. Good work.
I gotta admit, I think if I would
never
have
gotten this right. And
if I
would
have read that, if I would have read that question again, I think he would have gotten it. I do. I think I maybe misled him a little bit.
You know who was on those teams?
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I missed that part.
You know who played
he was getting that wrong anyway. Either way.
You know who played on that Bucks team that faced the Hawks in those playoffs?
Probably Salmons.
John Salmon, same playoff success in Milwaukee as Damian Lillard.
Did you order the Salmon?
No, I ordered the cheeseburger, which I'm very excited to show up here pretty soon. It was recommended by some in I appreciate your recommendation, Jason, but some here with us recommended the cheeseburger, so I'm in for
that. All right, Steve, let's bounce back. Let's get question three at least, all right? And this one, if you've listened to this show before, you know this was during my era covering the Bucks, so maybe this one will change your luck. Question three, which Bucks player served a controversial suspension in Game 7 of the 2001 Eastern Conference Finals, a game the Bucks ultimately lost to the Philadelphia 76ers and Allen Iverson? Was that suspended Bucks player Sam Cassell, Scott Williams, or Irvin Johnson?
Boys, I'm about to strike out.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Nah, you got a 1 in 3 chance.
I'm going to say Sam Cassell.
Is that right?
Uh-oh.
Well, let me put it this way to you, Steve. And by the way, the answer is Scott Williams, and it was very controversial. But let me put it this way to you, Steve. For your first time playing trivia, it didn't go great, but the next time you play, it can't be any worse. 0-for-3.
You got to put this L on Tausch.
I butchered the second question. There's no doubt.
It wasn't a waste of a trivia appearance, though. There's a lot to learn from for next time.
Especially for the guy who writes the questions. All right, Steve. So you still got one entry. We're going to do the drawing next, so it certainly won't take Hunter a long time to put your name on a poker chip. But maybe, like Patrick Ewing and the ping pong ball for the 85 draft, maybe this will be your shining moment and maybe your name will be pulled. Steve, either way, we appreciate you playing, buddy. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Tough one.
That was tough.
Two tough questions.
Was it?
The first one he probably should have, and even the first one wasn't a gimme, but yeah, he should have got the first one.
And the last one, Steve sounded like he's younger than me, certainly. I'm guessing that the 2001 playoffs were not during his most focused Bucks fan years. So it was tough, but again, season's over, or at least the trivia is, and we'll move on. All right, we need to get to Whoa Hunter. That's coming up next. He will draw the trivia winner, and then we'll get to Feel Good Friday. It's a feel-good day for the guys, too. They are at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casinos, brand-new Pottawatomie Sportsbook. we were going to play a little Take It to the Bank, but we just don't have time because we talk so much Bucks. But if you're going to take it to the bank, maybe take your winnings from the sports book to the bank. Take it to Associated Bank, especially if you're a Packers fan. There's no better place to be than Associated Bank, where you get Packers checking with a Packers debit MasterCard, 10% off the Packers Pro Shop, both in-store and online. And, of course, the best customer service in the industry. They've got the awards to prove it. So go to AssociatedBank.com/Packers to find out more. Whoa, Hunter is next. It's Will D. Tausch.
I've been to a place where the drifters go. It brought me trouble, yeah, it brought me low. Time was flying, but I was rooted in my blues. When I looked up, all I saw was myself. Standing in my hallway, ain't nobody else but me.
Before we get to Whoa, Hunter, I'm impressed, Jesse. Usually you don't allow other people to do this. You like to make the clinking noise of the Brewers. Was it a fry helmet or a cheese fry helmet? Not a sundae.
Cheese fry helmet. Yeah, legendary.
Why don't you get that Quick Trip ice cream helmet?
Well, we'll have to replace it. It's the old logo. It's been around for quite a while. So, yeah, we'll get a new Quick Trip helmet to replace it. Yeah, let's do it.
But we need to pick a winner. Maybe Steve
Dynamite
with his only one chip in the...
It was a
Maybe
dynamite
Steve
drop. What do you want me to do?
Maybe Steve dynamite with his one chip will have a chance to win.
Let's get one for Steve. It's always fun to say, come on, Stevie.
Let's go, Steve.
Let's get one for Steve.
Let's go, Steve.
Win one for Steve.
No way he's winning.
I would think not.
Oh, my God. Steve.
Steve Marino.
This is amazing.
A W for Steve Marino.
Holy chip. Wow.
And we give him a week off now, so he doesn't have to labor through another week of trivia. Congrats, Steve. That's an upset. That makes me think I'm going to go and find the longest shot on the Derby and put a little down.
Yes. Yes.
Doesn't that make sense?
You should. Why not? Exactly. Yes.
If Steve can
Dynamite
do it, so can horse
it.
Number four.
Time now for Whoa, Hunter.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wilde and Tausch.
All right, gentlemen, there's a big Game 7 going on Saturday night. Unfortunately, it's not the Bucks, but on ABC, the Toronto Maple Leafs are at the Boston Bruins. This is a rivalry.
Is it Leafs or Leafs? The Toronto Maple Leafs?
The Leafs.
Leafs, which Leafs. Is not Leaves.
Yeah, that's a weird
It's
thing.
Canadian.
Right?
It's weird.
Oh, that cannot end.
This rivalry
Flankster,
goes
get
back.
Your, get your... Get your syllables and your pluralization correct up there. Come on.
Okay. This rivalry goes back to 1933.
What is happening right now?
I don't
Why
know.
Why are they all making it like, are we saying weird things over here? Like, what's the deal?
No, I'm
like,
not.
I feel like Tausch and I are on one team.
Hunter's
you guys
trying
are on
to be Joe
team.
Serious. He's trying to take, you know, he's trying to be Joe Serious with his Hunter. Woes Hunter. I get it.
I let you guys go. I don't jump in a lot, and this is my chance, and you're just jumping on top of me, Tausch.
You're going to use it talking about
Leafs, Bruins, Game 7.
You
just shut me off right there when I'm talking pluralization with the Clinkster. I think that's
anyway,
pretty interesting.
Anyway, this rivalry that goes back to 1933, the last three times they've played have gone to Game 7 in the playoffs. This is their 16th matchup in the playoffs. Are you guys tuning in at 7 p.m. on ABC for Game 7 hockey?
No.
No.
Whoa,
yes.
Nelly.
Oh, you are not. Stop it.
I got some writing to do on Saturday night. I'll have it on as my background instead of Law & Order reruns. Just for you, Hunter. Because
you're
going to
put that on
the same team.
You're going to put Game 7 hockey on. We love ABC. We love Disney. We love ESPN. You're going to put Game 7 hockey on instead of Timberwolves Nuggets game one, which is going to be the best second round series.
Is that the first game is Saturday
6 night?
6
o'clock tomorrow night.
Yeah.
There is
way better.
There is no way that game will be better than a game hockey? 7 of the best playoffs in pro sports.
If it goes into overtime and you win on a sudden goal.
Oh, we got old Jason Olchek. Jason Gretzky over here all of a sudden now Mr. Hockey. Fascinating.
I prefer Yaramir Wilde.
Yeah, be another one.
Also on Saturday, it's Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy that fell on a day that we don't have a show. I can't tell you how happy I am about that.
I don't get to do my Yoda voice.
You need to do a digi-only on your own YouTube channel with that. I am so happy. I didn't even realize it. I'm even more blessed.
I don't think you've ever given Star Wars a fair chance.
I watched the originals. They were fine. I've never gotten the mad, crazy, cultish vibe that people have for it, which is great.
Cultish?
Oh, yes. Star Wars people are definitely cultish, for sure.
How so?
They love it. Because you guys...
Obsessive.
You are obsessed.
You people.
I don't have a problem with it. It's a genre. People love it.
I don't have a
Trekkies.
Problem with it. You called it a Trekkie.
No. It is
calling
a cult.
Something a cult means you have a problem with it. That is a negative
connotation. Are Star Wars people, are they in their own club with their own hidden jokes and their own Yoda voices? Yes, they are. So are Trekkies. They're doing that whole ear thing and whatever else. I don't have a problem. No. They're not causing like crimes and stuff. They're doing, that's their deal. You don't think Star Wars people and Trekkies, you don't think that's its own little cult? Come on.
Rob this bank, I will.
Whoa, Nelly.
A cult we are.
Well, I was going to ask you guys, because I can only watch, normally I try to watch as many of the movies as I can that day, but I'm only going to have time for one. What Star Wars movie should I watch? I'm going to let you guys determine my life on Saturday.
No. The question is,
you don't know
this.
Your audience here.
Your lovely wife. Did I get a report that her birthday was sometime around now?
Yes, it was yesterday. We went out to dinner, had a lovely dinner together. It was great. She's going to be out of town.
Okay. And that's the piece of information I needed, because if you're going to spend a Saturday some might say nerding out on your cultish viewing of Star Wars films instead of spending time with your wife, then I would take you to the woodshed on this. But if you're going to be alone anyway, go ahead and just be lame.
Well, and then I won't be alone in the evening, because I'll be joining some of our teammates at the WBA gala that evening. So that's where my evening gets taken up with that. So that's why I'll get up in the morning. I'll watch a Star Wars movie before I go.
Good luck with that.
Whoa!
Okay, these have been duds so far, and I'm really worried about my third one.
Oh, boy. Gerald Ford?
Please tell me that's something to do with Gerald Ford.
Finish strong.
It doesn't. It has to do with Drake and Kendrick Lamar and their rap beef, and I wanted to know if you guys have heard anything about this or know anything about it at all.
Who's the Pat Murphy and who's the Craig Council of Drake and Kendrick Lamar?
Well, considering Kendrick Lamar probably already won this battle with his song that came out this week, I would say that Kendrick Lamar is the Pat Murphy, because he came out swinging.
Yeah. Okay.
Was it a diss track?
It was.
Tausch, what do you think?
I have nothing to add to this conversation, so I'm glad you guys have that part covered.
Whoa, Nelly!
All right. So
Odell Beckham
Jr.
signing with the Dolphins, huh?
Oh!
That's interesting.
Whoa, Nelly!
I'll tell you what.
Hunter,
Odell
I
Beckham
say this-
Jr., good player. That one catch has completely elevated him to a status where if he doesn't make that catch and he's playing for the Denver Broncos, is he the guy that he is now? That one catch brought all those kids to love what he did, and he was a nice player, but we have him crowned as like one of the great receivers of this generation, and he is not. Is that a fair... You guys joining my club?
I do think it's important to point out, he, before he blew out his ACL in the game, he was a really important piece for the Los Angeles Rams winning that Super Bowl, was he not?
No argument.
That's a pretty enormous plays in that game.
I think he's – listen, I don't want to make it sound like I don't think he's a good player. I think he's a good player. But we have him crowned like he's in the upper echelon, like one of the greats of this generation of wideouts, and he's just not. You guys joining my club?
He has 5 career 1,000-yard seasons. He was the offensive rookie of the year in 2014.
That was the year he had that catch.
He went to the Pro Bowl his first 3 seasons. He was all pro his second and third seasons. I think what he is now, you are right. He is not, he's bounced around. He's been to Cleveland. He's been to the Rams. He's been to Baltimore. He missed a season with his ACL tear. Now he's on to Miami. Before his knee problems, though, I think he was a pretty damn good receiver beyond that, just that one catch.
No, I prefaced it by saying he is a very good receiver. I think we've crowned him as one of the GOATs of his generation, and that's just not a fair assessment.
I think he got off to a very hot start to his career with 3 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. He had, in 2016, he had 101 catches. In his first 3 years, he had double-digit touchdown catches each of the first 3 years.
Yeah, he was a really good player.
He was
so
on his way to be. I'm joining your. I'm really sad the show's almost over. I'm joining your club, but he was on his way to being the kind of player that you are saying people view him as when they shouldn't. He was on his way there, and then he didn't become that player. You are right. But after 3 seasons, we would have been talking about this guy's going to be one of the best wide receivers of our generation. And he didn't keep it going, is my point.
That's a birthday he and I do.
Can I say dynamite drop in there, or is that not acceptable?
Yeah, that's good. That's okay. I just want to do Yoda one more time.
We wrap up the week with Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch. Got that sunshine on my Sunday bed. Finishing out the show and the week, as we always do, with Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. And Tausch, you heard John Wesley, who works for the Carbone Cancer Center at UW, mention it. You mentioned it then about last night. Our friend Greg Gard has his Guarding Against Cancer weekend. We all have been impacted by cancer in one way or another. I've always loved how Gardo has turned this into such an important event every year. And you were able to go to last night's, but not today's part of it.
Yeah, he again, last night we had the little deal beforehand, and you know, he was able to bring some good news with all of the transfer portal signings that he had, unlike when he joined our show. But just how important it is, and he got emotional because, you know, Howard Bailey, who's been a great doc at Carbone, is retiring. But the amount of money that they've raised and the amount of time and effort that they put in, it's absolutely beautiful.
That's it for us today.
That's not it for us. My boy JG getting me my watch. So Feel Good Friday, Guarding Against Cancer, really awesome. This is pretty doggone awesome, too. Look at that from my guy, JG. Hey, brother, listen to y'all last night. You went for like 6 hours. You put up with Jesse as the producer.
I did, yeah.
Thank you so much for the delivery, even though it ain't Dame time anymore.
But
it will be next year.
It will be next year.
My patience level is really high. You want to sit out? You want to do a Bucks talk here?
Yeah, why not?
All right, we'll finish with a Bucks talk. Thanks, Wildy and Tausch crew. Bucks talk is next.